It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
Woo! What is going on? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, D-Bro, and riding with me as always on this DFS Friday is Adam Pfeiffer, my co-host. Adam, what's up, dude?
Chilling. Still laughing at Daniel Jones stumbling for 15 extra yards. But yeah, these Thursday night games are weird because, like, we expect them to be terrible each week. And then, like, I mean, that game, I think we could agree, like, that game was kind of terrible. But again, it was, like, a competitive, close game down to the end. So, yeah, we have a really interesting slate to talk about here in week 7 as well. So, I'm feeling pretty good.
Dude, I'm ready to roll, man. I'm ready to kick this off. I know you alluded to this earlier in the week, but we're switching this up a little bit, man. So weekly from here on out, we're going to be bringing on somebody from the FTN fam as a weekly guest to talk just the main slate. And if you want, which you should, want our Sunday night and Monday night breakdowns, you need to head over to FTNDaily.com. Use promo code FTC for 10% off your sign up to get this premium podcast that we are going to be doing weekly with our weekly guests. So without further ado, the head man himself, the Fishmeister, Elliot Christ, is in the house. You can follow him on Twitter at Elliot Christ. Elliot, what's up, man?
I mean, honestly, that's not my favorite introduction I've ever gotten right there. The Fishmeister is not really the thing I was hoping to go for. I do appreciate you giving me Kevin's job, though. So, you know, 1 for 2, not bad. That's a Hall of Famer baseball player right there. That's about Daniel Jones' completion percentage. So, depends on what sport we're talking. But, yeah, man, I'm excited to be here. You guys have been crushing this podcast. I'm pumped that we're going to get a lot more FTN people on here. And, you know, what a fun slate we have to talk about.
Anytime I can start off a podcast by giving you shit, I mean, it's going to be a great episode. So, dude, without further ado, man, we got to kick this off, start rolling through these games. The first game that we're going to break down here, Packers are heading to Houston. The over-under is set at 57. Packers are favored by 3.5. Elliot, I know you love this game. Tell me what you love about it.
I mean, really, what's not to love about it? If you look at the Packers, they've really beat up on bad competition, right? They're coming off a game against the Bucs where they really got the worst end of the Carlton Davis, Jamel Dean, Bucs run defense, but the four previous games where they played bottom-of-the-barrel defenses, they scored over 30 points all four times, you know, over 40 points twice, and the other two were 30 and 37, right? In the 30-point game, they could have scored 100 on Atlanta if they wanted to continue to try. Now, in this game, the Texans' offense should push them as well. You know, the Packers don't get any pressure. They are second to last in the NFL in pressure rate. That is amazing news for Deshaun Watson, who's completing 85.5% of his passes from a clean pocket this season. So we get Deshaun Watson in a total above 52, right? Those are the games where he goes off. He's averaging 28 DraftKings points, talking about a guy that averages 300 yards in these situations against a team that does not provide pressure. Okay, so we got the Texans team. They're scoring points. And on the other side, the Texans aren't stopping anybody, right? Bottom of the barrel run defense. They don't cover receivers particularly well. Like, Bradley Roby is not good. Devontae Adams should get the best of that matchup. Aaron Jones is in a smash spot. And guys like, you know, David Johnson is a way to be contrarian. Will Fuller is in a fantastic spot this week. I just think this game, you know, in terms of what both teams do well, the other team struggles to stop. So those are the games that tend to shoot out.
Yeah, dude, I love this game, and I think this is a great game to be different. I think a lot of people are going to go to Watson in this spot, and I really like Aaron Rodgers. Like, people were talking about last week about attacking the Tampa Bay defense. I was like, what are you doing, baby? Like, I don't get that because Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean are hashtag good, and you don't attack them. I know we're going to discuss them later on the premium show, but, dude, you hit the nail on the head. Bradley Roby is bad. He's been shadowing. He's going to see a ton of Devontae Adams in this. Like, he's been following top wideouts on 76% to 94% of their routes. As a shadow, dude has been just burnt. 60% catch rate, 3 touchdowns on 20 targets. I'm all in on Rodgers, Adams. I think that people are going to want to, like, because of the matchup, lock button Alvin Kamara. And I think it's lock button Aaron Jones week. And I know, like, I gave you shit at the beginning of the show about, like, Derrick Henry and everything. For anybody that follows you on Twitter about going against the Texans, I want to throw this in here. I was with you on fading Henry, but I'm all in on Aaron Jones. Like, His explosive metrics are off the chart. Texans are terrible on the ground. I'm really looking at the Packers side of this one, and if I'm going to the Texans side, I think there are easy ways to be different. Yes, Will Fuller is the man that down in Houston, but Brandon Cooks is either going to get Kevin King or Josh Jackson, and they've been horrible. 61% catch rate, 106 passer rating combined allowed. I think that, you know, if we don't get Jordan Akins in this game, I really love Darren Fells. I think it's another week of the Darren Fells show because Green Bay is terrible against the tight end. You brought up David Johnson. I love him in this spot, man. I mean, Green Bay is dead last against covering running backs in the passing game. And since Duke came back, David Johnson is fourth amongst running backs in routes run. So you got to love that. But Adam, your thoughts on this game, man? I feel like I don't know if it's going to be popular or as popular as some of the other games on the slate. And I really don't care because I think that this game is a great spot to be different.
Can you guys talk elaborate the Derrick Henry thing? I didn't catch that. What was that about? No, obviously kidding. Yeah, so
we should address that real quick.
We can. Because, we definitely can.
No, I think it's really interesting how Twitter is incredibly sensitive, right? Yep. You say the word fish and everyone gets their panties in a bunch. Listen, I was tilting. I had Justin Jefferson, Julio Jones, Trey Burton stacks sitting there 40 points back from the Millie Maker with four players to go. No one in front of me had more than two. 10 minutes left in the games. Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, Chase Claypool, chalk, all busting. Derrick Henry had 12 points in a game that they were down with 10 minutes to go and finished with 43. If we're not going to say some of the stuff that happened got lucky, I don't know what to say. Yes, Derrick Henry was in an amazing matchup. To me, he's a touchdown-dependent player. I came in, you saw Kyle Murray, who has some of the best projections in the NFL, was a guy, he came in at 30% projected ownership. For me, looking at the numbers, saying that, okay, he's got a 10.5-yard receiving prop. He's not involved in the passing game. He's going to run a lot against a bad defense, absolutely, but he's touchdown dependent. Okay, so let's say he doesn't catch passes. All right, so let's say he gets 120 yards. That's 15 points. One touchdown, that's 21 points. At that salary, I think there's other ways to be different and get ahead of 70% of the field or 30% of the field. Now, what I said was if he scores two touchdowns, you're in trouble, right? Now, obviously, what he did and the fact that A.J. Brown was out of bounds and then got a 50-yard screen pass in overtime, and then on 3rd and 5 from the 5, they run a wildcat with Derrick Henry. Like, that was a crazy play call. But if you look at Henry's implied probability of scoring two touchdowns and going over 100 yards, it was 16%. So I said, okay. Now, if you're playing 150 teams, you don't fade Derrick Henry. But I was playing 3-max. I didn't play Derrick Henry. I was frustrated. I called it fish. My process, I think, is sound. People are too sensitive. Now, it's been fun. We've been joking around about it. But I just want to say that I think we got lost in the minutia. Now, there's two problems. One is people don't like being called fish, especially when they win. No one ever wants to be told what they did that worked was the wrong process. That's fair. But really, the interesting thing is that a lot of the people that are making jokes were underweight or didn't play Derrick Henry. But you know what? Listen, it's all part of the process. It's all part of the fun. And, you know, Derrick Henry burned me. And that's, you know, Derrick Henry's got that 2-touchdown, 100-yard upside every single time he takes the field. And Aaron Jones has it this week in a better matchup where he's more – or in the same matchup where he's more used in the passing game.
Look, I'm totally with you, Elliot. Like, I'm giving you a bunch of crap about all this, but my whole thing is that, like, I'm with you on the fade Derrick Henry last week, and that's honestly why a lot of my lineups were burnt. I hit on stacks, and I think the other thing to point out here is that, yes, Derrick Henry broke the slate, but the other part about it is I'm with you on the process – it's the huge division that every other running back outside of, what, DeAndre Swift busted last week. Like, Madison, Davis, everybody else that was high-owned or in good matchups and good spots. You had David Montgomery get cucked by Nick Foles. Like, all of these other running backs, you're seeing a 20-something point, 30-point division on their scores. So for everybody that wants to prop up Derrick Henry, yes, he got there. Yes, he smashed. Yes, he broke the slate for all of those reasons. But the other part about it is that every other running back failed. So for everybody that wants to prop up Derrick Henry as being a great play and they made money and stuff like that, you also have to talk about the fact of the disparity between him and every other running back on the slate to talk about why that happened. It wasn't just that Derrick Henry crushed. It was the fact that everybody else shit their pants.
Yeah.
100%. Listen, it's all good, too. Like, it's all good fun, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, people act like they've never tilted before. But this is what the industry is, man. It's a good time. You know, we're back this week. And Derrick Henry now plays the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that'll be an interesting matchup. But, yeah, I mean, we haven't gotten Adam's take on this game, but I'm guessing that he's also going to agree that this Packers-Texans game is very attractive.
Elliott hit exactly what I was looking at in my research process with Deshaun Watson, and the other huge factor is I don't understand why he's still under 7K. I mean, I don't know if it's a coincidence that in their two games without Bill O'Brien, their offense has kind of exploded and done what we've thought they would be able to do this season. I love Brandon Cooks here. Like, if Kevin King plays, he is not somebody like Kevin King is one of the, you know, the largest corners in the NFL. He has not been good against the smaller, quicker receivers like Brandon Cooks. So I think this is a really good spot for him, and he's obviously been really good this year outside of that goose egg game a couple weeks back. I think the popularity from this game is going to come from Watson stacks with Fuller and Cooks, and then, you know, running it back with Aaron Jones. I like playing David Johnson and Devontae Adams to kind of be different. David Johnson is still way too cheap given the opportunity he's seeing each week. His carries just keep going up. He's fifth in the NFL in opportunity share. He's 5,300 on DraftKings. Debro mentioned his routes run are among the league's leaders, despite Duke Johnson being there. And remember, Duke Johnson, the last week before Duke Johnson came back, David Johnson was around a 90% snap share in that game. Duke Johnson comes back and he goes down to 60%, and then that's gone way back up to 70-80% as of late. So Duke Johnson is not a thing once again for Houston. I think David Johnson against this awful Green Bay run defense that gave up 102 touchdowns to Ronald Jones last week. They're, you know, stuffing runs 11% of the time at the line of scrimmage. It's one of the lowest rates in the NFL. And while he hasn't been super efficient, you know, David Johnson's getting all the goal line work in this offense. I really like running stacks with David Johnson and Devontae Adams because, yeah, Bradley Roby's been shadowing, but, you know, Bradley Roby is the best corner on the Texans, but he's still not, you know, necessarily great, and Devontae Adams can beat any corner in the NFL. So I love those two in tournaments as well. And, I mean, if you want to play Will Fuller, he has the worst matchup probably, but he's been literally 100 yards or touchdown in every game but one this season, and that was the Baltimore game where he barely played, or he still played 60% of the snaps, but bad matchup, was in and out of the game. So, yeah, it's probably easier to talk about the players that you don't like from this game because it's probably a short list.
One quick thing is a free bet. You know, FTN bets guys, including myself, have been crushing. I'm up 37 units so far this year. David Johnson, over 16.5 receiving yards. That's a free pick right there. You mentioned the routes run. You mentioned Green Bay's defense, his usage in this passing game. That number is too low.
Wow, you got to smash that. That's all. I don't know who was drunk and set that line, but you got to love it, man. Moving on. So Detroit is heading to Atlanta. The over-under is set at 56.5. Atlanta is favored by 2.5. Honestly, I think this game is going to be popular, and for a few different reasons, I think that I'm probably going to be avoiding this game outside of maybe some one-offs. But Adam, what are your thoughts on this game? Because I think that a lot of the options are priced up here, and I might have a little bit of different take and some feelings about this game than you two.
It's super interesting because I love targeting players against the Falcons, but the thing with the Falcons is the last couple weeks, they've moved Isaiah Oliver to the slot. He's been demoted because he's just been getting destroyed. So it's like, do I want to play Amendola here? Not really. And like AJ Terrell and these other corners aren't anything special either, but like Isaiah Oliver was the main cornerback I wanted to target each week from Atlanta. My favorite player from this game, and it's really surprising given like I wasn't really too like sold on him entering the season, but I really love TJ Hockenson here. Like if I'm spending around that price range at tight end, I'm probably looking here. I wrote in my snaps and targets article at ftnfantasy.com, and they literally in that last game against Jacksonville ran three straight plays at the 1 yard line targeting Hockenson, and the second one of the other players literally stole the ball from him and deflected it, and then they scored in the next play. But he is top three among tight ends in end zone targets, and I know Galladay missed the first two games, but he still played three games, and Marvin Jones has been there, sort of. But despite playing with those two guys, who are, you know, some of the better touchdown scorers at the position, he's seen 24% of the Lions' end zone targets this year, Hockenson. That's the highest rate among any tight ends with at least 15 total targets. So he has a ton of touchdown potential, especially against the Falcons, who are allowing the most touchdowns per game to tight ends at 1.2 per game. So I really like Hockenson here. Stafford's somebody I struggle with because they've been, when they can, like we saw last week, when they've been able to run the football, you know, Stafford's throwing the ball 30, 31 times. The Falcons have been good on a per-carry basis, but we know they give production in general to running backs. And so it's going to be interesting to see how popular DeAndre Swift might be after his breakout game last week.
Elliot, what are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I mean, of the there's the three big games that people will look to stack, right? And it's the first game we talked about, this one, and then the Cardinals versus Seahawks, which is now the Sunday night football game, but still on the main slate. For me, this is definitely my least favorite. Now, I think Kenny Galladay is in a really good spot now that he's getting healthy. He's coming off, what, an ADOT of 20 yards last week, 40% of the team's air yards. His downfield role in this game, especially on the left side where the Falcons are one of the worst teams in the NFL, is really intriguing to me. That's a one-off play I like. I'm willing to spend up some money for him there. The Falcons, the one real concern with I have with Matthew Stafford this year is how bad he's been under pressure. I think he's got like a 10% completion percentage under pressure. That's 37th in the NFL. There are only 32 starting quarterbacks. That's not good. Falcons get decent pressure. But if they give him enough time, you know, the Falcons are one of the worst teams. I think they're dead last in explosive pass rate allowed. I think that Galladay can get on the top of this defense and have a big game. And obviously, listen, I want to see Julio Jones ownership again. Because right now he's 7,100. That's very affordable. Kyle currently has him at 10% projected ownership. Again, if you want one singular reason to subscribe to FTN Daily, Kyle's ownership projections are the best in the industry. And if you don't have ownership projections, you're flying blind. So it's early. It's Friday morning. You know, you want to see how that trends throughout the week. But if Julio is going to be low owned again, I'm going to take shots there. But Galladay, Julio are definitely the two guys that I have the most interest in. Gurley, Swift. I mean, I'm not chasing Swift, and I'm not really a guy who ever plays Todd Gurley. I'd rather save money and play David Johnson or pay up a little bit and get Chris Carson in a different matchup or go all the way down to Drake or Bernard. This is just not the kind of guy that I play.
Yeah, and I mean, my whole thing with this game is both of these teams are – the cornerbacks, the secondaries, you can absolutely exploit. My worry with this game is that Atlanta has been more run-heavy. Like, they started off the year, like, passing the ball a ton. They had the fifth-highest neutral script passing rate at 64%. Over the last three games, they're the sixth-heaviest run team in neutral script. And, like, some people want to be like, okay, well, Julio was out, so that's probably making a difference there. Even if you look at, and I know it's a one-game sample, but we're talking about, did Julio affect that or did he not? Last week when he came back, you still had Atlanta, I mean, in neutral script, they ran at the third highest rate in last week's game in neutral script. So it wasn't just a Julio thing. It was that Atlanta, like Dirk Koetter, I don't know if he woke up on a different side of the bed, but he's been like, okay, I guess we got to feed Ty Gurley. And for a game that we haven't seen ceiling out of Stafford, this Lions team wants to run the ball more. Hell, since they got Kenny Galladay back, they're the fifth highest rushing rate team in neutral script. So the line suggests this game is close. You have two teams that are shading more towards the run. And for everybody that's saying, okay, well, he's going to drop the bomb that Ty Gurley is the guy that he wants to play. Dude, if you look at line yard metrics, yes, Detroit's bad. But over the last three games, like since week three, they've actually figured some things out. Like they're seventh in explosive run rate allowed. And Ty Gurley is not a guy that explosion and Gurley needs to be mentioned in the same sentence anymore. So if it's going against a team that over half of the season right now, we're looking at they are top 10 in limiting explosive runs. I don't really have a lot of interest in this game. Passing rates are down. The prices for all of these guys are up. I think it's going to be a popular game. And if you're looking at stacking, like even if you wanted to go Matt Ryan, Calvin Ridley, Julio, Kenny Galladay, all of those guys are immensely priced up. Like you're going to get thin at a lot of other positions. And for a popular game, I'm not saying I hate the game, but I'm more likely to pick one-offs from this game than I am to stack it. One, related to price. Two, related to everything that I just mentioned. Matchups are great, but I think that this could be a sneaky spot where it could be slower than we anticipate. It could be more run-heavy than we anticipate. But, Elliot, am I throwing crazy sauce at you for all of these reasons?
No, I think this is a game that people will probably vote to be contrarian. There are other games that I think are better to target, actually, with slightly lower totals, but they will have much lower projected ownership. The Chargers-Jacksonville game comes to mind for me. Again, I like Julio at low ownership. I think Kenny Galladay's in a good spot here. TJ Hockenson, Adam, I agree with you that he's in a really good spot. He's probably the, if you're not playing Galladay, because your boy is super dusty. I don't even need to say his name.
Dude,
listen, you guys brought up the Derrick Henry thing. I'm going to bring up that Marvin Jones is dusty. That's how this works.
Dude, listen, dude, you don't have – nothing you can say will hurt as much as me every Sunday night when I do the solo recap pod and every Tuesday when I do the snaps and targets article writing about how he's kind of done and you can drop him in fantasy leagues. Like, nothing you can say will hurt more than me having to say it myself. This is nothing.
All right, challenge accepted. I got an hour to come up with some stuff on the spot. Yeah. But no, I mean, I think Galladay, the problem I have with Hockenson, right, is that there's so many guys that I think are in good spots to pay up for this week that it's tough for me to want to pay the 5K. I'd rather go down, like we talked in the last game, if Akins is in, I think him at $3,300 is a good punt play as exposure to that game. If he's out, Fells is a phenomenal play at 4K. If I'm going to go up that much, I mean, Kittle's probably going to carry no ownership. Kelsey right now is projected popular. We'll see how potential 5 inches of snow and wind impacts ownership there. 5 inches is a lot to some people. So, you know, we'll see how that game goes and the ownership plays out. I think Hockenson is good in a game stack, but that's really where I would try to focus on him.
Yeah, and I will say, like, I'm glad Elliott brought it up with Todd Gurley. Like, I understand the matchups there, but you're getting the same usage and more pass routes for $700 cheaper with David Johnson in a better matchup.
I'm totally with you, man. I just think that there are better games. And in a week, before we turn on the mics, we're talking about there's so many plays. There's so many games. There's so many guys that, like, you're like, I can't play all the dudes, but I really want to play all the dudes. This is one of those games that, like, if it's going to be popular, I find myself more along the lines of fading it or just playing one-offs instead of stacking it. All right, moving on. The Cowboys are heading to play the Washington Footballs. The over-under is set at 46. Washington is favored by one, which is insane to me. But, Elliot, what do you see out of this game? I mean, I know we're going to talk about Terry McLaurin, and yes, I love him, and yes, he's going to smash. But, dear God, what are your thoughts on him? Because I feel like he is going to be crazy, crazy popular, and I don't know if I'm willing to eat the chalk on a wide receiver. But here we are.
So, interestingly enough, he's right now is not projected super, super chalky. I do think he'll get there. He is way too cheap. His weighted opportunity scores are off the charts, right? His air yard shares since the new quarterback came in is 62%. That's absurd. He's only 5,800. He's going up against arguably the worst defense in the NFL. His prop line came out at 72.5. In the 30 minutes it's been out, it's already gone up from 112 to minus 182. There's a lot of sharp money that came in on McLaurin immediately. That is the third highest player prop so far of all the lines currently available. McLaurin is, I think he's in cash, he's a cash block. In tournaments, he's a guy that I'm going to want to get exposure to. I really think that Terry McLaurin's going to have the Will Fuller versus Atlanta week. I think he's just going to absolutely go off and, you know, I'm going to want to make sure that I have exposure to him. I would probably go overweight. So if the field's going to be 25%, I'll probably be at like 35. He'll probably be on two of my three single entry teams. That's how I will treat McLaurin. I'm willing to kind of go overweight because I do think he'll get double digit targets against the Cowboys. And then the other couple plays in this game that are interesting to me, one is Washington's defense, which should be the chalk defense against the Cowboys offensive line that's now missing Zach Martin. They are missing their starting left guard, left tackle, their backup left tackle, their starting left guard, their starting center, their backup center, and their starting right tackle. They don't have any players left to block four first-round picks with Chase Young and Sweat and Allen and Payne. Like, that defensive front for Washington is really good. And then on the other side of the ball, I think Zeke is a contrarian play. You know, he's probably going to be 5 to 8% owned. You never get Zeke that low. He just got 11 targets. If they are rushing and getting in the backfield, you're going to see a lot of Zeke targets. His, you know, snaps, weighted opportunity, touchdown equity, everything you look for is off the charts. And Dalton Schultz is a guy that you know, he's boring, but he kind of gets it done, right? He's only gone under 35 yards in one of his five starts. Five or more targets in every one but one start. Washington is 32nd DVOA, so I don't mind him. But that's really my take on this game.
Adam, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I mean, Terry McLaurin, I think he's, like, kind of a smash play in cash, at least. Like, and then in tournaments, like, I kind of have the same mindset. Like, you would think, okay, you know, it's still a Kyle Allen-led offense, and if he's going to be super popular, there's a ton of merit to just going away from him. But then I watch Daryl Worley play, and I'm like, yeah, I probably am going to play a lot of Terry McLaurin. And the cool thing, like, it's not an elite or anywhere close to elite passing offense, but it's super concentrated, right? It's Terry McLaurin getting 8 to 12 targets. It's the running backs getting, like, 35% of the targets, and it's, like, 4 or 5 targets maybe from Logan Thomas, who I think Debro's probably going to want to talk about. I like Zeke in tournaments, too, because I think a lot of people will have a lot of concerns with the offensive line that Elliot pointed out. And it's obviously, for me, the offensive line issues they have more to do with the time that Dalton's going to have in the pocket, and that probably benefit Zeke, who had 11 targets last game, and Dalton's going to be way more prone to checking it down than Dak Prescott would have been. So I kind of like Zeke in tournaments. I love McLaurin. Probably not, like, in the beginning of the week, I had some interest in J.D. McKissic, but you're just not going to have to go there now. There's other value plays there. So for me, it's really Zeke and McLaurin, and that's probably it for me from this game.
Yeah, and I get the Dalton Schultz call. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I ran out Evan Ingram, even though he looked horrible and Jason Garrett is a buffoon last week. So I get the Schultz call. I don't really have a whole lot of interest on the Cowboys side. I mean, Andy Dalton looked terrible. Like, their offensive line, like Elliot alluded to, is just they don't have any dudes left. And you look at this Washington team, they're pressuring at 22.6%. right now, and it's notable because the Cardinals, who ate the Cowboys up, like, stole their lunch money, left them, like, pushed down in the middle of the dirt, they're pressuring at 22.5%. So I think that Washington is going to be in the backfield all day. Like, they're basically, this is going to be Chase Young, and you might as well, like, we need to Photoshop Chase Young's face on Khalil Mack's body and put Andy Dalton on Tom Brady's and just take a little photo there, because I think that Chase Young is going to be smiling in his face all freaking day. On this game, I know people want to talk about Kyle Allen. I don't want to play any Kyle Allen, because to win and take down a GPP, if you want to roll him in cash, look, I get it. But I'm not going to go there in tournaments, because if you're looking to take down a GPP, like, the way that quarterbacks have been scoring this year, you need a guy that in his range of outcomes has 30 points in there, because to do that, you need that to do that, because quarterback scoring is just off the charts. And I don't think that Kyle Allen has that even in his wheelhouse. Like, even if he goes 280-3, he's probably not going to get there unless you just smash all the other plays in your lineup. So I don't want to start out like 10 to maybe 12 points down, even with Kyle Allen hitting the ceiling of his range of outcomes. For the other plays in this game, like, I get the Zeke call. I think that he's going to garner a lot of volume. My problem with Zeke is all the offensive line stuff, plus Dallas is 31st in open field yards. Zeke has had one run the entire season of 15 yards or longer, and against Washington, in four games with Chase Young playing 66% or more of the snaps, they're 11th in explosive run rate allowed. So I'll probably avoid Zeke. I think there's just a lot of really, really good plays. Like, I get the ownership. So
for Zeke, everything you said is why no one's going to play Zeke.
Yep.
Right? Like, this is like the David Montgomery against the Bucks. I think you and I actually talked about that on the Showdown show, right? Where it's like, he's not a good play, but he's going to get a ton of volume, and sometimes volume just leads to fantasy points. Like, he saw 11 targets last week. That's what you're relying on, and touchdown equity. But you're not relying on big runs. 100%.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. And I guess, like, just process-wise, like, the volume is absolutely going to be there. Like, I want a guy that, like, somehow can bust off a big run, and I just don't see that for Zeke. So if he burns me, I do think two touchdowns and him getting above 100 yards just based off of volume alone is in the range of outcomes. So, yeah, I mean, I totally get the play in tournaments, especially if he's low-owned. Want to get into Logan Thomas here before we move on. Dallas gets constantly eat up by tight ends. They're 24th in DVOA. Logan Thomas, Adam talked about, this is a concentrated passing offense. He has a 17% target share. He's 7th in weighted opportunity amongst tight ends, and he leads the team in red zone targets. So if Allen throws for three touchdowns in this game, I think McLaurin could get two, and I think Logan Thomas, like, you could bookend him for a touchdown, and people, for everybody that's been chasing Logan Thomas in his volume and the target share and the weighted opportunity in previous weeks, I don't think that a lot of people are going to play him. And at 3,500, I think that he could be this week's Trey Burton. Like, I'm not going to be surprised if Logan Thomas gets his 60 yards and two tutties. And if you're looking for the value tight end for this week, like, I think it's Logan Thomas right now. If you're not going to play Darren Fells, if you're not going to play some of these other guys, like we talked about Jordan Akins, I have a lot of love for Logan Thomas here. But your thoughts on Logan Thomas here, Elliot?
I don't think he's Trey Burton because I don't think he's getting 1 yard carries. No, but on a serious note, like, I get it. I mean, we've been targeting tight ends against the Cowboys all year long. There's a couple gross tight end plays where what you're really hoping for is if they get in the end zone, they're going to pay off because the tight end position, the rest of the place tends to suck, right? That's why Burton was such a great play. I mean, 18 points for 3K is obviously phenomenal, but tight ends don't score points. That's why I mentioned Dalton Schultz earlier, because he's getting you 8 to 10 points, and that doesn't kill you. If he gets in the end zone, he gets 15 points, and you're like, oh, my God. That's awesome. So I don't mind the Logan Thomas call at all, especially if you're going to fade Terry. Like, that's the leverage play right there.
Agreed. I totally agree with that, because past that, I don't want to play outside of, like, we're talking about Zeke. I'm not going to any of the Washington running backs. Like, I feel like everybody's been chasing Antonio Gibson for weeks, and J.D. McKissick is just standing behind him like, hi, how you doing? I get volume two. And I'm not going to Antonio Gibson.
Last three weeks, man. J.D. McKissick is third in routes run among running backs. He's, like, top five in both targets and receptions, and he's been playing when they've been behind. And Dallas is bad, but Washington might be slightly worse, and we know Washington's going to be trailing in a lot of games. So, yeah, I don't see a scenario where you feel good about playing Antonio Gibson for most of the season, to be honest.
Well, J.D. McKissick, we talked about this on the waiver show. If anybody wants to download that, go back, listen to that. J.D. McKissick is ugly James White right now. I don't play James White in tournaments, and I'm not going to play the ugly version of him either. So, moving on. Buffalo is heading to New York.
Oh, Elliot. Yeah. Let's go, baby.
Elliot Smalley, we're obviously not doing this on video. I know he's wearing his favorite Adam Gase t-shirt at the moment.
I am wearing black for his funeral, but no.
Why is Darnold playing, by the way? Like, I'm super tilted that he's even playing.
So the over-under is set at 45. Buffalo is favored by 13. Elliot, I'm going to let you kick this off here. Who in this game are you looking to play? I know Josh Allen has his history versus the Jets, but talk to me, man.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets are abysmal. They're the worst team in the NFL. We continue to hear how sharp money comes in on the Jets every week. And then the Jets are not covering by average of 11.7 points, twice worse than the 31st team. They're losing games on average by 18 points. If the Bills say, we're going to try for four quarters, I think this is a very sneaky GPP stack of Josh Allen with his rushing upside and the fact that he has basically all the touchdown equity. So I don't play Devin Singletary ever because he's going to score 1 to 2 touchdowns this season. And the Jets cannot cover deep. And Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen have amazing chemistry. Diggs has seen, 40% of the air yards, and the Jets are dead last covering the deep ball. They spread them out. They're going to get the time. You can attack them downfield. I really like Stephon Diggs in one-offs or stacking him with Josh Allen. And you don't have to run it back with someone, especially if Jamison Crowder doesn't play. Like, at that point, we're not messing with Rashad Perryman and Jeff Smith and Denzel Mims. No, thank you. And Chris Herndon, we've tried to make him a thing long enough to say, nope, that's not working. And then Adam's going to get mad at me. I do think the Bills win this game very comfortably, but the Jets defense, you know, they have gotten pressure on Allen in previous matchups. Allen is someone who takes bad sacks, who makes poor decisions, and will, you know, turn the ball over, fumble it, whatever it is.
Come on, dude. They're 2K. Right here.
They're 2K. They could get 6 points at 2K.
No, I agree, by the way. I'm sprinkling in some Jets defense at 2K because I've watched the Bills play.
Yeah, I mean, and like John Brown hasn't practiced yet this week, which will just help Diggs more. I think Diggs is a really good pivot off the guys in that area with, you know, 30, 35 point upside.
I love Diggs in general and in this spot. I mean, Pierre Desir has no shot in hell to cover him. I think Josh Allen to dig stacks are going to be well overlooked, just because people will see this spread and everything and go, oh, Josh Allen's not going to get full run. But I don't think people realize, like, just because a team is favored by 13 doesn't mean they just don't play in the second half. Like, that's not how it works. It's not like you just get pulled. Like, they're going to be in for four quarters. The only way Josh Allen comes out of the game is if it's like 5 minutes, 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And by then, like Elliot said, he has all the touch on equity in this offense anyway. So if Buffalo scores 31 points, there's a less than like 2% chance that it's two Zach Moss rushing touchdowns and one single. It's just not happening. So I love
if they hit their 5-team total, yeah. It's a challenge. Probably through three pass touchdowns mm-hmm. and one rushing touchdown.
Yeah, so I love stacking him with Diggs. John Brown, I saw this morning, both John Brown and Trey White weren't spotted in the early portion of practice, so we'll see. But if John Brown's out, you feel a lot even better about Diggs, who's been just a monster for floor and upside this year anyway. And yeah, if Crowder plays, he's interesting just because last three games against Buffalo, he has 40 targets. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that there's nobody else there, but still, nobody else is there. We know Trey White has not followed him in the slot when they've played. He's been outside against Perriman and Robbie Anderson and the likes of those players who have been there for the Jets. And looking at our advanced DVP tool at FTN, the Bills, I mean, we've seen the middle of the field be their kryptonite, especially with Matt Milano out, who, if he plays, it helps. But still, I mean, Crowder's second in the NFL with a 31.5% target share. The Bills allow the fifth most yards per game to slot receivers. So I'd have some interest in Crowder, but yeah, like he's once again a little banged up. Darnold being back does help too. Like, he was still getting targeted from Joe Flacco, but we know Darnold, you know, is not going to take 28-yard sacks, you would think, so that's good.
Well, I mean, I don't put it past the man, but I digress. I do think the Jameson Crowder thing, like, listen, he went from not being injured to a limited practice Wednesday to not practicing Thursday. Mm-hmm. That is, you know, always trending in the wrong direction, but he's gotten over 10 targets in every single game. He's got probably the highest floor of almost any receiver in the NFL because he's going to see all the work because they don't have any other NFL players. It's not even that Jamison Crowder's great. Like, they don't have NFL players, and he's an NFL player, so he just is the option on every play.
Before we get out of this game, I don't know if it's just me being a pessimist, but I have a weird feeling the Bills do not win by 13 or more points.
This is a great tease spot. Get him under a touchdown.
Oh, and, God.
Adam, this is also you being a Buffalo Bills fan and saying that I've seen this team play and I don't really trust them to do anything. I'm on the other side of this and saying this team, they competed with Brett Rippon. They competed with Brett Rippon, who had not practiced as a starter in the NFL ever. And lost by 9 in a game. They scored one offensive touchdown when Sam Darnold broke a 50-yard run. like, they're historically bad. They're on pace to have the worst point differential ever. Like, they don't do anything well. PFF grades, you know, take them or leave them. They're not necessarily for me in all situations, but they are bottom 5 passing the football. They are bottom 5 running the football. They're bottom 5 pass blocking. They're bottom 5 run blocking. They're bottom 5 in their run defense. They're bottom 5 in their coverage. And they're bottom 5 in pass rush.
What about their kicking?
Honestly, Sam Ficken might be the team MVP right now. And he missed the kick last week so they wouldn't get shut out. So,
oh, my God.
I just know that it's legitimate. Like, and normally I would say play whatever defense plays the Jets, but I just want to touch on it real quick. You can't pay $4,700 for defense,
especially a bad one.
It does not matter. The Dolphins are not a good defense, man. And they put up like 15 DK points.
Yeah.
Or Darnold does help them, but they've got like 5 NFL players.
All right, the Browns are heading to Cincinnati. I actually have a lot of interest in
this. I love this game.
Under is set at 50.5. Cleveland is favored by 3.5. Adam, kick us off here. Why do you love this game?
Well, we got a bunch of news about, you know, 35 minutes ago, and then some more added about 10 minutes ago. So we knew Joe Mixon was questionable all week. He hadn't practiced. He left that game with a foot injury, did return in the second half, but he's been ruled out already. So we have that. We have Giovanni Bernard chalk week, and I probably have a tough time getting away from him. We'll talk about him in a minute. And then Austin Hooper got ruled out with an illness. Some people are going to go to David Njoku or Harrison Bryant, and I think that is absolutely not smart because they're essentially splitting their snaps and routes behind Austin Hooper. So Yeah, I have no interest in chasing the value tight end from that side of the game. I guess we should start with Gio, right? I mean, we've seen in this, whenever Joe Mixon's been out, he's been 15 to 20 touches, and he's been pretty productive whenever he's gotten the work. And I don't think they're giving P. Ryan or you know, if they activate, you know, Travion Williams, any sort of significant run. So it's going to be hard to get away from Giovanni Bernard. But it makes this game really interesting for me in tournaments because I was already interested in Kareem Hunt a lot. And, like, people, if they're not stacking this game, they'll be like, oh, you know, Giovanni Bernard is, you know, I need to play him. And if they don't want to stack the game, they may not want to play Kareem Hunt as well. But I love Hunt. And I already really like Tyler Boyd in this spot. And, like, he was already somebody that's not going to be popular, but even more so now because everybody's just going to go to Gio from the Bengals. But, like, the area to attack Cleveland is in the secondary and especially in the slot. You know, Denzel Ward's been solid in the perimeter. So, you know, Tyler Boyd's running the slot like 85% of the time. He's not going to see any Denzel Ward, really. Cleveland is bottom three in terms of yards per game to slot receivers this season. And, you know, Tyler Boyd, I know A.J. Green kind of came out of nowhere again last week. I don't expect that happening each week. Tyler Boyd's just 5,400. And like I said, like you haven't been able to run in Cleveland very much this season. The Bengals are still underdogs in this game. I think Tyler Boyd is a really interesting play at 5,400. And he's kind of one of those interesting pivots if you were to get off Terry McLaurin, if that was an avenue you'd want to take. So I love Tyler Boyd. I think Gio's obviously a really good play, and I really like Kareem Hunt on the other side of this game. Also, William Jackson's ruled out for the Bengals as well, which is pretty notable.
Elliot, what do you think about this game, man?
Yeah, I think this is a really sneaky game. I think Joe Burrow is in a phenomenal spot, mm-hmm. right? Like we've already seen this game play out, and you know one injury that didn't get talked about last week, and it has so far this week I haven't heard anyone mention. But Wyatt Teller was one of the best, if not the best, guards in the NFL through the first 4 weeks. He did not play. That line got blown up last week. Now, I think that had a lot more to do with the Steelers, and the Bengals are a team we really want to attack. It definitely downgrades Hunt a little bit, but the Browns dominated the line of scrimmage last time where Hunt and Chubb both went off. And I expect that Hunt will be popular, and I think he's a really good play. The Browns' defense is underpriced. You know, I definitely see it that angle. I do think the Browns win this game. And on the other side of the ball, I think they're going to force the Bengals to throw a lot. Last time they threw 50-plus times. The Browns actually play with pretty decent pace. And you look at Joe Burrow, and in terms of regression candidates, regression in a good way. You know, that is a thing. Stop arguing about it on Twitter. You know, he's number one. He has less fantasy points compared to his expected fantasy points than more than anyone else in the entire NFL. His expected fantasy touchdown rank is fifth. His actual touchdown rank is 17th. I think there's a lot of regression that can hit in this game. I think Tyler Boyd is a really good call. And the other guy that I think is in a great spot is T. Higgins. You know, T. Higgins has led this team in snaps. We saw A.J. Green get all the looks in this game the first time. Boyd obviously had that big drive at the end. And I think attacking the Browns in the slot is always smart. But Higgins has seen 35% of the air yards and 23% of the targets in the last four games. He's leading the team in snaps. We're looking at a Browns team that are giving up the second most expected fantasy points to receivers, third to quarterbacks, and fourth most air yards to opponents. I think T. Higgins is a really good one-off play. And I think even stacking Joe Burrow with T. Higgins and potentially Tyler Boyd is a really interesting way to attack this game, especially if you bring it back with Kareem Hunt on the other side and say the Browns are going to get up, they're going to run the ball. And then I'm just going to say Joe Burrow throws it 50-plus times over 300 yards or 45-plus times over 300 yards, three touchdowns with Higgins and Boyd getting two of them.
I think this game has so many different things. Like, it checks so many different boxes for me. Like, the pace is great, and with the line – it's suggesting this game is going to be close. So in neutral script, both of these teams are top 12 in pace. And you see what these teams want to do. So if they're in neutral script, Cincinnati is throwing at the fourth highest rate. The Browns are running at the fifth highest rate in neutral script situations. And it just sets up perfectly, man. Like, the pace is great. Burrow is going to be chucking the ball. I love the T. Higgins call because Denzel Ward, Higgins is going to match up against him a good bit. And you could beat him deep. Like, I know he's fast, but I'm not going to be surprised Higgins goes for two tutties in this game. I mean, Ward, 60% catch rate allowed, four touchdowns, 109 passer rating. I love him and Boyd. We know where the ball is going to go. I don't think that A.J. Green, I think he's getting slowly phased out of this offense. So people want to point to last week. dude, he's been dust in every other single damn game. So the one game that he just, like, volumes his way to, like, a decent stat line, I'm not willing to buy into that. So I'm not going to worry about him going against Mitchell on the other side, who's actually been hashtag good. So I love Kareem Hunt in this game. The Browns want to run the ball. Baker is banged up. If people want to go to Odell and other passing options, like if, with Landry being banged up because it came out that, you know, he has a broken rib. So if people are like, okay, well, they're going to put two and two together. Landry's dinged up. Targets are going to go that way. I'm not willing to do that. I think the Browns are going to lean on their run game in this matchup. We've already seen it play out previously. And I think this game is just really, really straightforward. Bengals are going to throw. Browns are going to run. This game is super cheap and easy to stack up, and I think it's going to come in under-owned.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of things that I love about this game.
That's the biggest thing for me, man. It's the fact that Joe Burrow is, what, 5,500 on DraftKings? Like, you pair him with Boyd and Higgins if you want, or either one, and it's, you know, it's costing you pretty much nothing. You run it back with Kareem Hunt, who's under 7K, is still getting the majority of the opportunities in his backfield with Nick Chubb out, and like, it's just one of those games, like, D-Bar, we talk about it all the time, man. Like, you're trying to tell a story with a game, and you can clearly see how this game plays out. 36% of the yards allowed by the Bengals this year has come via the run. It's the sixth highest rate in the NFL. 47.2% of the yards gained by the Browns' offense has come via the run. Only the Ravens have a higher rate. So it's like, the Bengals' defense is kind of tailor-made for what the Browns want to do on offense, and we know the Bengals are going to have to throw the ball, and that's how you beat the Browns' defense right now. So, yeah, like, that this game is, to me, is it my favorite game on the slate? It's up there, honestly. But in terms of interesting, intrigue, it's the most interesting game of the slate for me.
This game is top three. Like, this is definitely one of my favorite games because it's going to be a lot of different factors. It's price. It's the fact that I think that people are going to overlook this game outside of possibly just Kareem Hunt. And I'm not willing to go with Geo. Like, I think that he's this week's Philip Lindsay, like, with his price. If you want to go that way in cash, it's just the Browns are top 10. They are a top 10 run defense this year. They shut down Joe Mixon. Geo is not even as good as Joe Mixon. The Bengals are not blocking well on the running side. I'm not going to touch Geo in tournaments. If people want to go that way in cash, like, that's fine. But I think if you're going to
look, like, he's not 3K, right? He's $500 for a minimum, which makes him $4,500. But, like, Kenyon Drake is $4,800. David Johnson is $5,300. We got to monitor what happens with Justin Jackson, right? Because one of them, one of those backs in a great matchup are $4,900 and $5,100. He's not a free square.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. And the other thing about it is, like, I don't see Geo having a ceiling week. Like, I just don't see that, like, in his range of outcomes. So if people are going to play him in cash just as a block or whatever, I'm more along the lines of, like, just run a wide receiver in your flex. Because if I don't think he has ceiling, there are wide receivers that you can get to in that same price point or near it in other games that we're going to talk about that I love this week. So if you're sitting at home and you're trying to devise, like, all right, I'm setting all my DFS lineups on Saturday, on Friday night, and you're like, man, I got to devise, like, how I'm going to spend all of these future DFS winnings after checking out all of the amazing content at FTNDaily.com. You have got to head to pristineauction.com. Start bidding on thousands of items for as little as a dollar. A dollar! They have daily auctions featuring signed helmets, jerseys, footballs, everything you need. Over 8,000 items in their auctions at all times. All of these things are authentic. Like, they guarantee everything that they are going to ship out that you could bid on the site. Head over to pristineauction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com, and use promo code FTN for $10 off your first invoice. And please let them know we sent you. So heading over to our next game, Carolina is going to New Orleans. This game is it's interesting. I really got to say that here before we get this down and dirty with this game. Over-under is at 51. Saints are favored by 7.5. Elliott, what are your thoughts on this game, man? Because in previous spots, in previous years, before Drew Brees turned into a pile of dust, this is a game I'd be like, man, you know what? I really have a lot of love, but outside of one-offs, I think this game is probably a total avoid for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple interesting things. One is that the Saints' offensive line has been phenomenal this year, and the Panthers don't get pressure. They can't cover running backs, they can't tackle, and they can't stop the run. They're giving up the most expected fantasy points to any team in the NFL to running backs this year. So that's not great news. The team that's missed the fourth most tackles is playing Alvin Kamara, who averages 6.8 forced missed tackles per game. They give up, 8.9 targets to running backs. Alvin Kamara, without Michael Thomas, is averaging double-digit targets. Now, we'll see if Thomas plays. I expect him to. Still think Kamara is going to be heavily utilized. Has a ton of touchdown equity. He's got one of the best matchups on the slate. I think he's a really good play. And he's going to be super chalky. So one of the ways you can kind of combat that is by putting him in a game stack or like a mini game stack, right? Run him back with Robbie Anderson. Run him back with DJ Moore. A situation where the Saints defense hasn't allowed a 100-yard rusher in 31 games now, which is the longest streak since 1992. So they're a pass funnel. And the Panthers have shown they're willing to throw the ball to kind of get back in the game. And that could mean a lot of Robbie Anderson or DJ Moore volume. I really think that the Saints win this game. I think it'll be a lot of Alvin Kamara. He's got, I think, you know, he's locked and loaded for 20-plus fantasy points with 40-point ceiling. So Kamara, Anderson, and Moore are really the only ones that I have real interest in this game.
Adam, what are your thoughts, man?
Yeah, I'm 100% in agreement. I really, obviously, Kamara is going to be highly regarded as, you know, arguably the best play of the slate, and it's hard to argue that. I mean, we'll see if Michael Thomas plays, but like even if he does, it's not going to take me off Kamara. You know, I don't really care. And I like similar to the Bengals. Like if you want to stack Teddy with Robbie and DJ Moore, it's not that expensive. I mean, DJ Moore, you know, he's been a little disappointing this year for a lot of people, but he's still been, you know, he's now been over 90 yards in each of the last two games. He had 11 targets last game. He's only 5,600 in a game where Marshawn Lattimore has not been good this year. That entire pass defense, the second half of that defense, or the second level of that defense has not been good. This is the worst red zone defense in the NFL. They're allowing touchdowns on 85% of their trips. Like, they have legitimately been bad outside of stopping the run, which they've been elite at for years now. So DJ Moore and, like, another super concentrated passing offense. It's DJ Moore, it's Robbie Anderson, and it's Mike Davis. Am I going to play Mike Davis in this spot? Probably not. So that leads to me to go to Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore and running it back with, obviously, Alvin Kamara. This game is pretty simple for me.
Yeah, this game, and I have a lot of concerns, and the reason that I don't want to necessarily game stack this game is, one, the pace. I think that both of these teams have been running really slow. You have Saints are 20th in total pace. The Panthers are 28th, which coming into the season, we thought the Panthers were going to run a lot of plays. Like, Joe Brady was going to have them souped up, and they're passing, but they're still a slow freaking team. So on the Panther side, I love the DJ Moore call. I think that if you wanted to run just like a skinny stack with Kamara and DJ Moore, I absolutely get it. Kamara, I mean, we don't have to talk about it. Like, he's in a smash spot. The Panthers have been terrible against running backs. They're still terrible against running backs. They're going to be terrible against running backs the entire season. I'm not going to get weird enough to even worry about or even consider Latavius Murray in this game. I know people are like, okay, he's going to garner 13 to 15 touches, possibly if Thomas is out and the Saints lean on it. I think that's one of the reasons, like, if you're even considering Latavius Murray, then being maybe even matching the field with Kamara, like, I'll probably just play more. But it is worth considering to, like, what you want to do with Kamara this week, because he's going to be super popular. And whether you want to be under or overweight the field, I think it's going to be a really interesting conversation, or at least a building perspective in tournaments. Elliot, if you had to pick one here, Kamara, would you lean being overweight with him versus the field in tournaments? Like, if you're going single entry three max, are you going to run him in two or three teams, or are you more or less like, all right, it's just one?
So we'll talk about him in a little bit, but I think there's a guy that's a tremendous salary saver this week in Deontay Johnson that allows me to play the receivers I want. But, you know, for me, they're both highly involved in the passing game, which gives them the higher floor, right? So, like I talked about, I didn't want to play a chalk Derrick Henry last week. I think Kamara's got, like, a six-target floor. Jones has, like, a five-target floor. And these guys both have double-digit touchdowns and 100-yard upside. Though Kamara's much less likely to hit the bonus than Aaron Jones is. But I'm going to have a lot of both of these guys. And I'm with you where I'll play one of the Panthers receivers and probably move on in the next game.
Real yep. quick, D-Bro, it could easily be nothing, but I, like I always do when we record, I have TweetDeck open. Rob Domofsky covers the Packers for ESPN. He just tweeted that Aaron Jones was not seen at practice and he will be on the injury report, and he is scheduled to speak with the media later, so just something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, definitely something to monitor.
Jamal Williams would become a free scorer.
Yeah.
My gosh.
I mean, team Jamal Williams Mark, forever.
Like, what, how much is he on DK?
4K.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Oh my gosh. Like, that would be insane if we got Jamal Williams at 4K. All right, so moving on. Steelers are heading to Tennessee. The over-under is set at 51.5. This is basically a pick 'em. Like, Steelers are favored by one. I want to leave this off here, man. I think James Conner is in a sneaky, sneaky spot, and nobody ever wants to freaking play him. I love him this week. I think that he is going to come in under-owned. And, dude, I don't understand why people don't love him enough. I don't know if this is, like, all the lag after, like, you know, preseason, everybody loved him as a value, and then week one he comes out and he's hurt and we're all these injury concerns. Like, in the last four games, dude has done nothing but produce, and in not great matchups in some of these. Like, he scored 23, 27, 20, and 15 points. He scored rushing touchdowns in each of the last four games, and now he gets a Tennessee Titans team that is 31st in explosive run rate allowed. Pittsburgh is 7th in open field yards and goes against Tennessee, who is 30th in open field yards. I think that if people want to be contrarian in this game, they're going to automatically look at Derrick Henry for some of the same reasons why I love Connor, but he's an amazing pivot off of Kareem Hunt if you wanted to go that way, because Hunt's a little bit banged up. Connor, I like him in this spot. And this game overall, I don't have a ton of love for. But I really, really love some James Conner. Elliot, what are your thoughts on Conner and this game in general?
Yeah, I think this is a really intriguing game because the Titans do play pace up and you can really attack the secondary. Again, I mentioned Deontay Johnson. He's 4,200 on DraftKings in his two healthy games. He had 23 targets. Now, I know Chase Claypool's come on and that probably limits his upside, but Juju Smith-Schuster looks horrendous. And I think he's going to have a really good matchup on the outside this week. So I think Deontay Johnson at a cheaper price. James Conner is a guy that, you know, he's going to be involved and he's going to get the volume. And whenever you have volume and, you know, low ownership, you have an opportunity to be a really good play. It'll be really interesting because the Steelers have played bottom of the barrel offenses, while the Titans have played some of the worst defenses in the league. And now we have one of the best offenses versus one of the best defenses. So if the Steelers defense can, you know, blitz and control the line of scrimmage, it could be even more opportunity for Conner. Though he's been a little frustrating near the goal line where they're doing these Chase Claypool wide receiver end arounds instead of James Conner 1 yard dives for touchdowns. But I don't think I will be on Conner, but I get the logic.
We've seen the Titans give up a lot of pretty strong performances of running backs. You look back at week two, James Robinson had 16 for 102 and a touchdown. Melvin Gordon had back in, was it week one, like 90 yards and a touchdown. Like, they have been a team that you can, you know, break some big runs against, like you said. My concern is also with, you know, we've seen not only them give Chase Claypool those end around and those sweep carries inside the five, but Benny Snell comes in way too often inside the five. I don't understand it. Connor's still getting the majority of the carries, but Benny Snell's getting like five carries a game, and like three of them are coming inside the five, which is frustrating. But they have, you know, the touchdown to David Johnson last week. The Bills don't run anybody, so that didn't happen. But then Dalvin Cook exploded against them. So, like, they have given up some huge games of running backs, and Connor's kind of priced right where Kareem Hunt is. So it's kind of interesting from that standpoint. And yeah, Deontay Johnson, I mean, 4,200. Even if you're worried about Claypool now being the one on this team, like, it hasn't really happened because Juju's been just not a thing this year. But we've seen when the Steelers go pass heavy that Ben Roethlisberger can support multiple receivers in fantasy. And at 4,200, like, Deontay doesn't have to do much. He's practicing in full, so he seems to be good to go. You'll probably be tilted when he leaves in the first half. Like, he's done, what, twice this year now? But from a pure price play, like, it's tough to not like that. But other than that, like, A.J. Brown was somebody I had interest in, but he hasn't been practicing either. With that knee, that's been bothering him. He was DNP on Thursday. We'll see on Friday. We've seen, you know, Steven Nelson. We talk about this every week, D-Bro, where he's not been good, and we've seen those perimeter receivers have success against this team. We saw it a couple weeks when we saw it with the Texans game, we saw it with the Eagles game where Travis Fulgham broke out. So if AJ Brown can get back to full in practice, I would have some tournament interest. But yeah, other than that, like, Derrick Henry's amazing. I don't play running backs against Pittsburgh. I just don't. Like, they are the best defense in the NFL, and they're especially the best run defense in the NFL.
Well, and the other thing to bring up here is that Taylor Wan being outside, like, out with a torn ACL is going to affect their offensive line. And for everything I know, we gave Elliott a bunch of shit at the beginning of the show. Dude, Derrick Henry, his peripherals walking into last week were not great. I wrote him up on FTN Daily. Like, all of his elusive metrics were not great. So if you're looking at the offensive line has been downgraded. I understand about open field yards. I'm a huge line yard metric, like, nut. So if you head over to FTN Daily, if you look at the amazing free tools we have the offensive defensive line tools that are up there that you could look at all of these things we're talking about all episode long. I get that the process behind playing Derrick Henry, but behind a line where they just lost arguably their best offensive lineman and one of the best players on the team, I'm not going to touch Henry, even at lower ownership.
AJ Brown back at practice today.
All right, so moving on.
Practice is always the one we care most about, right? Like, stop freaking out that veterans aren't practicing.
Especially on Wednesdays, man. Like, I John Brown hasn't practiced on a Wednesday all year, and I get questions. John Brown is not going to practice Wednesday. Mike Evans is not going to practice. Juju hasn't practiced. Juju's kind of toast right now. But, like all these guys are not practicing on Wednesday. It doesn't mean a single thing.
It's like you're working your 9-to-5 typical job, right? And you don't show up to work on Saturday.
Right, exactly.
Your boss is. Like, people don't freak out. You're not supposed to be there. It's okay.
I think that might be the most perfect analogy we've ever had in the in show history. Moving over to Kansas City is heading to Denver. The over under is set at 47. Kansas City favored by 9.5. Adam, what are your thoughts here, man? I know that I could easily make the blanket statement that, yes, Patrick Mahomes is always in play, and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce can smash, and they can break the slate. But overall, this game, there are just games on this slate that I find myself where I like the pace, I like all the things. Yes, I know snow, and we're going to have probably 40 questions in the Discord this weekend about weather. Snow matters. The rest of the weather does not. But what are your thoughts here, man?
Yeah, so we'll see, how much snow and how much wind. But for me, like, even before I even knew about the weather in this game, I wasn't too interested. We'll see if Le'Veon Bell even plays. I think Andy Reid said the other day that they're still taking it day by day, whether he'll have a role or if he'll play at all. Even if he does play, like, he's not taking Clyde's role. He's probably just taking Darrell Williams' role. So that really doesn't impact me. And Clyde's still really cheap if you wanted to go to him. Travis Kelce has destroyed the Broncos over the years. If you want to pay up a tight end, I'd probably prefer Kelce to Kittle just because we've seen how Belichick can defend A, tight ends, and B, tight ends that are the focal point of their team's offense. So I'm a little worried about that. But Tyreek Hill's been saved by the touchdown this year. He has not had, he's had six targets, literally six targets in every game but two. One of them was a three-target game last week against Buffalo, and the other was an 11-target game. Other than that, he's been consistently, six targets, and that's not really doing it for me when you have all these other great receivers on the slate. So I'm not really on Tyreek Hill. The backfield for Denver is absolutely off-limits now with Melvin Gordon expected to be back, so that's going to be a 50-50 split. Drew Lock has looked terrible, and no offense, practicing in full. So, I don't know. There's really nobody in this game that I look at and I go, oh, this guy needs to be in my lineup if I'm making a bunch of lineups. I can't go the whole slate without having exposure to this player. If I get to Kelce or some Clyde, I don't hate it, especially at Clyde's price. But, yeah, for me, nobody really stands out.
Elliot, what do you think here, man?
Real quick, breaking news while we're on this podcast. Austin Hooper just got ruled out, which means that guys like David Njoku and Hunter Bryant against a horrendous Cincinnati Bengals defense are going to be mid-priced or near mid-priced tight end punts that are just relevant because we're talking about Travis Kelce. Kelsey's definitely got the highest ceiling. I really want to pay attention to the wind and snow there. If there's legit going to be 5 inches of snow on the ground and they're playing through that, that's going to impact traction. And the issue that we've seen with the Chiefs this year is that they're just not throwing as much. They're really relying on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who I actually think is pretty sneaky right now at 6,100. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has underperformed expected fantasy points more than any other running back in the NFL. So he's due for the most positive regression. The Denver Broncos have overperformed more than any other team with expected fantasy points against running backs this year. So they've overperformed the most, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire has underperformed the most. With Le'Veon Bell coming in, I think he'll mostly take the Darrell Williams role, and I don't think CEH is going to get the ownership. So I think he's a really interesting play where we've seen in these games where they're 9-point favorites, he gets 20-plus touches. You know, he only has one touchdown in the season. His expected number would be 4.5. The man seems to be cursed inside the 5, but he's not Leonard Fournette going backwards. I think he'll be just fine, and I think in tournaments he's interesting. But other than that, I'm punting this game completely, and that's wild to say with the Chiefs, right? But they're just not throwing the ball enough. You add in the weather, divisional game. I think they're going to lean on the run game. I'm kind of off this one.
Yeah, I'm off this one too. I mean, look, if people want to go, like, I can't even talk you into going with a CEH Chiefs correlation. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm not going to pay $4,300 for a freaking defense. It's just not going to happen, man. Like, and they get you 3 points, and you're like, yeah, I'm so glad I played them in the snow. So I'm probably just off this game altogether. Drew Lock's going to throw, but dear God, we know what Drew Lock looks like at times when he's forced to throw a ton. So this game is probably just a full avoid for me. Moving over to San Francisco is going to head to New England. The over-under set at 44.5. New England is favored by 2. This game is another one. Like, I just don't like a lot of the plays out of this game. Like, I know that people are going to talk about it and say, well, you're being disingenuous because you have JaMychal Hasty at 4,200. And I'm like, can he get the volume? Do I love him as a player? Yes. Is this a spot that I'm probably going to worry about him, or I think that I have to go there this week in DFS? No. Both of these teams pressure extremely well. Both of the opposing offensive lines give up pressure at a very, very high rate. San Francisco's adjusted sack rate is terrible. So I think this game is another one. Like, we're talking about these games back-to-back, but I think this game is probably just another firm avoid. But, Adam, am I wrong? Do you love some guys out of this game?
I don't know about love, but I kind of like Debo, man. I think Debo is going to be like mid-6K pretty soon. He's healthy now. He's played over 80% of the snaps in each of the last two games. I don't worry about the cornerback matchups for Debo because the way they use him, like he's just so hard to just kind of lock in on. He gets those carries, those sweeps, and those touch passes and everything, and they scheme him up in space where, you know, last year it was, what, A.J. Brown that led the league in yards after the catch among receivers, and then Debo. And right now, obviously, smaller sample size, but Debo is averaging over 12 yards after the catch per reception. He's only 5K. With the running back injuries this team has, like, maybe that I could see him getting 3-4 carries in this game, kind of like he did last year. I kind of like him at that price. Kittle, for the reasons I mentioned, like, Belichick, and he's just been so good at shutting down these tight ends. And with Garoppolo, like, Garoppolo is just not very good. So I worry about that. And then, yeah, like, JaMychal Hasty is really interesting for, like, season-long, you know, stashes and dynasty and stuff like that. But on a slate where we're probably going to have, or we definitely have a 4,500 Gio Bernard who's getting 19, 20 touches. We might have Jamal Williams now. We have potentially Justin Jackson. Like, there's just no reason to go there. And for New England, like, if you want to play Cam, the rushing floor will be there. But there's other quarterback plays that are just better, in my opinion, for a little bit more and a little bit less. And the receivers on New England are pretty gross. So, and I'm not playing any running back. So, yeah, it's really just kind of Debo for me.
So, I mean, my take on JaMychal Hasty right now, Derek, is that, you know, you're in North Dakota and he's a, you know, and it's like you're going after a 6, right? And then you go to Los Angeles and you're like, oh, that's not a 6. So I think you're overselling Hasty here a little bit with when you say, do I think he's a great player? I think you need to, you know, expand your horizons and see more for a little bit more comparison. That being said, that's about as much as I want to talk about this game. No thanks, pass, no interest in DFS. This game's going to be slow, it's going to be a slugfest, and it's going to be filled with fantasy ungoodness.
Moving on to Jacksonville is heading to face off against the Chargers. This is a sneaky spot that I have a lot of interest in. Over-under is set at 49. The Chargers are favored by 8. Elliot, who are your favorite plays out of this game? And I know it's going to be Keenan Allen's going to be one of them you're going to talk about here, man.
Yeah, I mean, I know we're not allowed to reference R. Kelly, and for really good reason, but that's what this game is for me, where it's like my mind's telling me no, you know, but my body is telling me yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I'm ready for this one. Keenan Allen is in such a good – why is he $6,200? This man saw 10 or more targets. He saw 40 targets in the three starts with Justin Herbert. In the first quarter, we saw two targets, 29 yards and a touchdown against the Saints before he came out after the second drive. I mean, this man has tremendous volume, really good ceiling. Jaguars are bottom five, both yards and targets covering slot receivers. Justin Herbert, you know, people are going to talk about the Chargers play up and down to their competition. I think that has more to do with Phillip Rivers than Justin Herbert. You know, I don't think that's really fair. I know they didn't play great against the Panthers, but the Jaguars are 32nd DVOA covering the pass. Herbert has shown four more carries in every game. He hasn't broken the big one, but he's got the athleticism. He's taken shots downfield. He scored 19 or more DK points. I think he's got a 30-point ceiling. I don't mind him stacking him up with Keenan Allen. And then the run back is Keelan Cole, right? I mean, the Chargers are horrendous covering the slot. And, you know, ever since Chris Harris got injured, and Keelan Cole's running the most routes in the slot. And I wish he didn't just have a big game, but this game stack's going to have no ownership. You can play Mike Williams, too, because he's too cheap for how good he is. Hunter Henry's in play as well. But Keenan Allen, Keelan Cole, and Justin Herbert are the plays for me in this one.
Yeah, I like that. And I think that the running backs are the ones that are going to get the love in this game. And I'm not saying no. I mean, like, I know that Justin Jackson's been limited this week in practice. I think that, for me, I just don't think that you have to go there for those running backs that are going to have split workloads. We don't even know, but, like, in a good matchup, who's really going to be the dude. For everybody that talks about Justin Jackson, like, you can't run on the Saints outside of one broken run where he got 36 yards. His stat line was pretty damn similar to Joshua Kelly, although Kelly gets the red zone work. So if you head over to FTNDaily.com, you look at the volume report, Kelly's the dude getting the totes when they get inside the 20. I don't really have any love for the running backs in this game. I mean, James Robinson's broken our heart enough to that I'm just off of him. I love Keenan Allen. I think that it still goes under the radar that Keenan Allen is seeing elite volume. Like, this dude is seeing Michael Thomas, Devontae Adams-esque volume since Justin Herbert's under center. I love the call with him. I also love your call on Keelan Cole. Like, dear God, I hate the fact that he just had a massive blow-up spot, but I don't think the Jaguars are a sexy team that people are like, well, he blew up. They're more likely to just say, ah, yeah, that's great. I don't care. It's probably not that big a deal. But the Chargers, you can get them through the slot, man. Second most yards per game. And they are allowing the second most fantasy points per game to opposing slot wide receivers. Like Desmond King, there was a time way back when he was an elite slot corner. That time is not now. Not in the year 2020. Like, he is bad. Adam, what are your thoughts on this game? Like, do you think that Hunter Henry is a really, really strong play in this one?
Yeah, I'm fine with Henry. I prefer Hockenson slightly around that price range, but, I mean, Jacksonville has just been terrible. I mean, they are, like, bottom five in points per drive allowed, you know, yards per drive. They're just – and Miles Jack is still not practicing. He's probably their best player on their defense. So, it's going to be another spot where Justin Herbert should be able to find success. Obviously, you know, Elliot mentioned, like, the first time – when I first opened the slate on, like, Monday night, Tuesday morning – Keenan Allen's price was the first thing that stood out to me. It's just wrong. Yeah, he's had one of the highest target shares in football with Justin Herbert, and yeah, I'm glad Elliot pointed out. Like, people will look at the fact that he, you know, had the low volume, obviously, in the Saints game before the bye, but he, like, the fact that he had that, was it two catches, 17 yards or 20 yards and a touchdown on two drives? Like, he was gonna go off that game. So, yeah, the move to Justin Herbert has propelled Keenan Allen as like a top 10, 12 receiver, and he's just too cheap right now. For Jacksonville, I'm completely off James Robinson. They just have not been run blocking well, and this Chargers run defense has been a lot better with Linval Joseph in there. Jacksonville, I'm struggling with running back outside. Like, I like the Keelan Cole call, but like Chark, I feel like he should have had a better game. He had 14 targets. A lot of those were uncatchable deep balls. Gardner Minshew's been a little underwhelming this year. But, like, if I stack this game, I'll probably have some exposure to both receivers. But, yeah, the Chargers are obviously the focal point of this game.
And one quick point on Keelan Cole right now is he's, you know, he's coming off the big game. He currently has 2% projected ownership. So, I mean, like you said, the Jags aren't a sexy team. No one cares. DJ Shark is 7%. Both are very good low-owned plays.
I think you're being nice, Adam. I think Minshew's been hashtag terrible ever since the first week.
Yeah, maybe fantasy's been good. Real life, he's been pretty bad.
He's been struggling, man. So I love the Cole call because just the matchup. And if you're looking for the run back, I mean, we're looking for the correlations where we can get them. All right, so heading over to the Bucks and Raiders have been moved on to the main slate. You have Tampa taking on the Raiders. They're going to Las Vegas. The over-under is at 53. Tampa is favored by 3. Elliot, what are your thoughts here, man?
Ronald Jones and probably move on. He's been awesome. It's really hard to argue against it. You attack the Raiders on the ground. The Raiders' offense is tough to know exactly what's going to happen because their entire offensive line is on the COVID list right now. And they're going up against one of the best run defenses. Yes, that run defense lost Vita Vea, but they also just traded for Steve McClendon, which was a really good pickup for as a one-year rental player. This Bucs defense should swarm the Raiders' offense. I think the Raiders are a bit of frauds, to be completely honest. I don't love Mike Evans or Chris Godwin in this spot, even though the matchups dictate it. They're just not getting enough usage for me. I think it's really Ronald Jones and move on. Bucs defense, that's the other one I would consider just because the Raiders are potentially missing a lot of offensive linemen and they're a good correlated stack with Ronald Jones, but I just don't want to pay that much for defense this week.
No, I agree with you, and I think the Bucs are going to crush them. I mean, even if they're lying, they do get some guys back and stuff. Bucs are getting pressure at the fourth highest rate in the NFL. We saw what they just did to a really good Packers team and made Aaron Rodgers look clueless. What the hell do we think that Derek Carr is going to do back there? And I would love to sit here, and in previous seasons, I've thrown shade and hate at Ronald Jones. He's a really good play. I don't care if Leonard Fournette plays. If he's out, it doesn't matter. I think that he's done enough to justify his role in this backfield. And going against the Raiders, who are 31st in red zone rushing defense, I think that he's a strong play, man. I can't get away from it. Adam, any other plays out of this game that you're willing to sit here and go with?
No, totally on board. Ronald Jones, you know, just the Bucs offensive line is creating, you know, strong running lanes. And Ronald Jones is just finishing runs, man. I mean, he is ridiculous in terms of combination of size and speed. Right now he is averaging around 3 yards after contact per rush attempt, which is top five in the NFL. The Raiders are second in missed tackles, and now Jonathan Abram, who's maybe their best tackler or their biggest hitter at least, he's also on that COVID list as well as all the offensive linemen. So that's a pretty significant loss if they're without him. And yeah, I mean, Mike Evans, I've talked about my concerns. I mean, he's played 3 games alongside Chris Godwin. He has less than 15 receiving yards. He has a 10% target share, and they're not using him down the field, obviously, as much with Brady. Brady's been a good deep passer, but when they're throwing deep, they're throwing to Scotty Miller. They're not really throwing to Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin seems to be the first read when Brady does throw, and now Gronk's kind of becoming somewhat of a thing. So, yeah, no interest in the receivers from Tampa Bay, not playing anybody from the Raiders with the uncertainty with their offensive line right now. It's really just Ronald Jones for me.
All right, everyone, that is the main slate. I want to thank again Elliot for coming on. We are going to be having a weekly guest from our FTN family on the regular every single Friday for our DFS game by game breakdown. So if you're tuning into this, you need to be subscribing to FTNDaily.com. Head over there, subscribe. The promo code FTC for 10% off your sign up. Head over there and download the episode and check it out. The paywalled premium podcast for Sunday night and Monday night's action. So Adam and I are going to be back 4 episodes per the usual next week. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at APPfeiffer24, and at ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.